Mic check 1, 2, it's the O.G to the E coming through. I don't know what to do as I'm by the river. As I step to you, you're gonna fucking shiver. Spaghetti legs as I chop off your dick and hang your balls on a washing peg. It's SFS podcast number 23 for life. I'm still at my mum's house. I think someone came in this morning and police have been hanging around, so I'm a bit vigilant, but you know, I'm never worried because worrying is worse than when it happens. Take it from me. I know this from life experience. If you worry about something's going to happen, it's not as bad. When it happens, it's not as bad. It's just like before you get into a fight, you get that adrenaline rush, sometimes you get that spaghetti legs. That's the worst feeling. Once you get into the fight, then you're in it. Then them feelings go away. It's when you're worried something's going to happen. Sometimes, most of the time, it don't going to happen. But it's bad, worrying. Because when it happens, it's not actually as bad as you expected it to be. It's only in my experience when things happen out of nowhere that you're not expecting, like, just not expecting something like this to happen, which, you know, something drastic happens, or, you know, out of nowhere, you just play on a peaceful day and something happens, then, obviously, that can be bad. But today, it's SFS podcast number 23 for life, and I'm chilling in the cottage and it's alright. Now, the O.G to the E has got his prescriptions for his mental therapy, and I'm very unordinary. Yes, I used to drink my grandma's sherry. I used to go out to the seas, smash up trees, because I was bored. Now I'm going to tell you a story about how I'm going to get my Red Dragon Samurai sword. Yes, my interest on samurais is very, very real. I can't wait to get a samurai sword. It'll be the best thing I've ever had in my life. The most treasured memorabilia, an ornament I will ever look at. Imagine if I found one in a skip, because I always look at skips, you know, see something's good on it, or near a little shed, see if something, like, you know, it's not stealing, or ornament or something, see if it's worth anything. But see, I look in skips, because it's just like, I don't know, I just see something, I think, fuck it, I'm just gonna go over there and have a gander. A big fucking scrapyard across my mum's house, loads of fucking stones, wires, fucking aluminium, all that shit, man. Ooh, loads of fucking shit I could make money off. Aluminium, fucking stocks, ornaments, stones to put on ornaments to build gardens up, and all that shit. Proper stone sale place, like a fucking wholesale place, basically. I know the ins and outs of it. Go round the back, fucking fence open there, do a lot of shooting in that little secluded river there. Aluminium, copper, all that shit. It'll be a smackhead's dream, I guess. You're gonna be using money for a smackhead. But I was interested in the stones. I've got some unique stones, you know. I might just go and pick it up, seeing as it across the road from my mum's house. And this is my area, because it's a big, massive, massive area. And back in the day, it used to be a massive... Me and my mates, we built a fucking... When I was at my mum's, which wasn't regularly. Because I was a foster, I was at my grandma's house. We build a fucking skate ramps there. And we'd go rollerblading or biking on these ramps. It was like Tony Hawk. Built a big fucking skate park, me and this guy called Matthew, who lives up on a farm, proper into his dirt bikes and all that, but proper skate park. It was fucking fun as fuck until someone motherfucker come, got the fucking police after a while, said, oh, trespassing. I was like, what the fuck, oh, bullshit. Really fucking good fun. Now they turn it into a proper business where they sell stones and all types of scrap, aluminium, copper, all types of shit. Maybe it might be some gold. But yeah, imagine if I found a samurai sword in a skip. That would just be amazing. Anyway, talking about samurais, I am so interested in samurai. I just got to continue my samurai story and how it got started, because a lot of people do not know about this. See, I think SFS podcast could be a great podcast, right? Because even about wrestling, as I talk about wrestling, I acknowledge SummerSlam. Like most people didn't, I acknowledged the matches, I acknowledged what was wrong with it, and you know, the first hour absolutely was shit. No one acknowledged it, not even Wade Keller acknowledged that, or Jim Ross acknowledged it. And most fans that I saw online, I don't quote things online, but I look sometimes about quotes. People quoting about the how disappointed they are in Baron Corbin and, you know, the other matches, you know. It took an hour and a half to get that show going. And really, at the start of a wrestling show, you need a good match to start it off, to set the tempo, or people are going to, like, you know, drift off and think, fuck, this is a shit show. And before you know it, if it continues that way for the next two or three matches, it's going to turn off the channel. So, and when shit does get good, they won't appreciate it as much, I think, in my opinion. Anyway, this is the samurai story of how it all got started. A tradition that I love, as well as the philosophy of Bruce Lee and the samurai philosophy I'm getting really into, even though they come part of my ultimate philosophy, which I am the creator, the narrator, the demonstrator, verbal illustrator of the SFS philosophy, which I am still writing the book, The Art of SFS. The Art of SFS 2 book. I don't like to think so much ahead of time, as I take one day at a time. But that book will be more into the SFS, because I put a bit of my life story into the first book. And I nearly completed it. As I said, I wrote a book on it before. It was just about SFS, but some fucking repairman at the computer shop, when my laptop fucked up, deleted all the data off Microsoft Word. You know, I've done so many stuff, so many songs, books have all fucked off. Got so many pictures I've lost, you know. Sometimes it just bugs me the fuck out. But anyway, here we go. The life of the samurai. Because this is what I'm working forward to. The samurai sword. Of the bard, of the card, of the nod. Who the hell is it? Oh no. Swords are the finest bladed weapons ever created, for the 20th samurai, century samurai, like Yokozune. His sword was the first real sword to dismember a human body, and the first sword ahead of its time in the technology of making the swords. Yokozune schools gradually improved the lush meadows and the woodlands around the Harumi, offered abundant hunting, and during the fall and winter he and his friends probably rode out to shoot birds, fast moving targets to challenge the skills of the finest archers. Shining for deer offered another way of practicing the arts of war. Shining involved hunting at night with torches and shooting arrows at the eerie reflection of the deer's eyes. Samurai like Yoshinune sometimes needed to kill in the dark. The first guy to invent the samurai, Yoshinune. News occasionally arrived from the capital, where the rise of Tara seemed unstoppable. Tara Kaimori had recruited 300 youths as his spies and sent them out to terrorize the town of Kyoto, an ancient, very famous town in Japan. If anyone was overheard speaking ill of the Kaimori, the young brute broke into the home, seized his belongings, and dragged him off to jail. The Kaimori even had power over the retired emperor Go Shirakawa, the man who had been kidnapped by Yoshinune's father. Kiyomura forced Go Shirakawa to agree to a marriage between Kaimori's 17-year-old daughter, Go Shirakawa's 11-year-old son, new reigning emperor of the city Kimura in China. Some years later, Kaimori's daughter gave birth to a boy who eventually became a samurai warrior in years to come. Little Antokyo was named Crown Prince. The city of Kyoto aerocrates found this situation repellent. It wasn't the age difference between the bride and the groom that made them shudder. It was the truly nauseating notion of crown prince with the blood of a samurai in him. In the Japanese imperial tradition, the title of the crown prince didn't automatically go to the eldest son of the current emperor. The crown prince chosen from among all living sons reigning in the retired emperor. Everyone knew that a retired emperor, Go Shirakawa, had plenty of other sons and grandsons with pure pedigrees that crown prince Atoko. In the spring of 1180, Kiyomori's spies told him that the retired emperor was plotting against him. Go Shirakawa
was placed under arrest. Kiyomura fought the reigning emperor Kanthera, now a teenager, to give up his throne
and had
crown prince Atoko named Emperor of Japan. This power grab was too much for one of Shirakawa's adult sons, Prince Mokito. The prince issued an edict calling on other samurai to rise against the Taira, which was the first samurai sword made,
but now made into a group. In recent years, the Taira had been displayed contempt for the imperial rule and utter lack of respect for a way of good government. That was the weapon that was made by Fushimi. For this reason, go forth now, and with God's help and in conformity with this three, chastise Tara and disperse the enemies of the imperial line. The time has come. Exercise now with your martial prowess, which you here distinguish yourself, and exalt the honor of your house. Prince Mokito knew that Kiyomura was probably react violently to being named an enemy of the state. The rebel prince sought protection from the prominent Minamoto, who remained in Kyoto, the famous city
of Japan where the samurais and the powers reigned. 74-year-old Minamoto Yorimasa, a Kota who was a distant relative of Yoshinune, the guy who made the first samurai sword, the Taira. 20 years earlier, Yoshinune
was a baby. Yorimasa had wisely refused to join Yoshitsune's father in his rebellion. As a result, he had been punished and had remained captive in Kyoto. Due to the quality of his poetry, the skill that really mattered at court, he was rewarded the high-ranking title. Yorimasa had been on good terms with the Kiyomori for many years, but now he felt that the Taira leader had gone too far. Now, the Taira leader was the leader of a group called Taira, and that's what they named the first samurai sword that the Yoshimura made out of. First it was wood, and then obviously the blade that made it Taira. Yorimasa agreed to support Prince Mokito's rebellion. Yoshimasa, the elder warrior poet, and Mokito, the imperial prince, had gathered only a small force when Kiyomura's samurai caught them on the banks of the Yuji River south of Kyoto. During the battle that followed, Prince Mokito was killed. Yorimasa's three sons also died. The rebels, it said, bleached on the mosses of the ancient bank. Their lives flowed away on the waves of the great Japanese stream. Wounded by an arrow in the legs,
all hope lost. Yorimasa linked to the Phoenix Hall, a graceful Chinese-style temple on the riverbank, beneath the winged edges of its roof.
He wrote his last ever poem, "This Forgotten Tree." Never through the fleeting years burst into flower, and now the end has come, and no thought but turns to sorrow. Minamoto and Yoshimasa, is that a noise? Sat down his brush, then he picked up his sword and plunged it into his belly. Just as Tami Tomo had done, it was the second influential seppuku of ritual suicide in Japanese history. But this is not the proper samurai sword. These were other swords before the actual first one was made. The rebellion of Prince Mushito and Yorimasa failed, yet it ignited a second rebellion that would change the first guy who made the samurai sword, Taira Yoshinune's life. 19 years earlier, in the aftermath of the first Minamoto Taira conflict, which the group, not the sword that Yoshinune first made, Kimura spared one of Yoshinune's half-brothers. His name was Minamoto Yoritomo. Yoritomo, only 14 years old when his father had been killed and the Minamoto samurai defeated, Kimura ordered of his retainers to keep the boy prisoner, and so Yoritomo was sent to a retainer's home in a province not far from the Minamoto homeland. As hereditary leader of Minamoto, Yoritomo lived on a sword edge every day of his life. He knew if the Kimura ever felt threatened by a member of Minamoto's family, he would be the first to be executed. Living in close quarters, one jailer and his family does, however, offer special opportunities for advancement.